Welcome to God's View, The True Perspective, Episode 2. I am Jalen Austin, and hey, welcome back. If you saw the first video, I really hope you enjoyed it. If you haven't gotten a chance, please go ahead and check that one out. Before we get started, I love to start with prayer. So if you will please bow your heads and just hearts composed. That's what hearts composed. Anyways, yes, please bow your heads. So we could just welcome and usher in the presence of the Holy Spirit because, yeah, he needs to be here. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your favor and your grace, Lord. Right now, I just ask that you come on behalf of myself, Lord Jesus, that you allow me to say the words that you desire for me to say, revelations that you desire for me to share, Lord Jesus, but most importantly, that your presence fills this space and this atmosphere where I am and currently wherever this person is that is listening to this episode, Lord. I ask right now, Lord Jesus, that you allow us to hear the words that you want us to hear, Lord Jesus, that whoever is listening, Lord Jesus, that they are able to grasp and identify what love is in accordance to your word, Lord Jesus, and apply it within their lives, Lord. Right now, I just ask that you just supersede, take over this space, Lord Jesus, with your presence, Lord, and that you allow the conversation to go in the direction that you desire to see fit. I just thank you so much for your favor, your grace, and your mercy, and I give you all the glory, honor, and praise, and I ask all these things in your mighty name, I do pray. Amen. The theme of this channel really is to have revelation through conversation, because a lot of times we don't realize what God is doing within our lives until we talk about it. And it doesn't even have to be with someone else. You can just start talking to God about the things that he's done over your life, and he'll bring revelation to you as you're speaking to him about it. And so that's really what God's View, The True Perspective is about, is having those conversations that bring revelation of God's goodness within your life. But anywho, today on my little table of things, I have my pink book, right? My pink book. And ironically, it says ridiculously good ideas, but what has been written, what these pages are filled with, are the consequences of really bad ideas, really bad decisions. But most importantly, how God allowed me to be navigated through those experiences relationally with his word. And today we're going to be talking about redefined love. Redefined love and really how God shifted my perspective relationship-wise in regards to him, and how he redefined the definition of love for me. I want to really start off before we get into anything. Of course, we started with prayer, but I want you to, if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Funny story, because it's funny to me. I tried to record this session or this topic a few days ago, and it was like the words were not formulating. Like whatever I was trying to say was just not being conveyed in the way that it needed to. It felt like it was missing a piece. And so the Holy Spirit dropped in my spirit Hebrews 12. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but it talks about God's discipline proves his love. And so I really want to come from the subject of how God redefined what love is in showing him, or showing me, how he is a good father, how he is a father. Relationally, relationships, or, you know, in the area of relationships, this book right here for me, I call it my pink book, obviously, because it's pink, but also because this was how God showed me how my definition of love and perspective of love was not okay, and how he slowly allowed me to be able to see what that looks like and what that is defined as in accordance to his word. The reason why this is a token of reminder for me, because I started writing in this book in 2019, and this is just a little bit of advice for whoever is watching. If you don't keep a journal, you need to start keeping a journal. And not just journaling your emotions, but it is a good way. It is a great way to be able to look back over your life, right? And look at how far God has brought you. Because sometimes, I know for me, you might be going through a season of your life. You might be going through something in your life and it feels like you've made no headway, right? It makes you, it literally feels like you're just moving in a stagnant position, like going in circles, cycles even. And the Lord, a lot of times had me go back and look at this book to see, no, Jalen, you're actually progressing. It may not feel like it because you're not where you think you should be or where you think you want to be, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't have you where you should be, where you need to be. And a lot of times I had to look back in this book, not as a reminder of the heartache and the pain and that those emotions that I went through, but just how good God is and how my mindset changed from when I wrote this at 19 and 20 to where I am now at 24. And you'd be amazed by some things, especially when you're trying to work through heartache and you're trying to work through pain of relationships and disappointments in life, how much you could forget. And for me, sometimes I look back in this book and I'm like, I can't believe this was the headspace that I was in. But God, thank you, because God has a good way of allowing you to make it through something and coming out not smelling like smoke. Right. And sometimes you don't realize you don't smell like smoke until you go back and look at what caused the fire. if you get what I'm trying to say. So anyways, yes, the pink book is my reminder of God's goodness and how far he's brought me. But also, it's also tools that helped me through a difficult time in my early young adult life that sometimes I could look back on and say, wait, hold on a second. I've been in this space before. How did I work through it the last time? Or God, I know you did it before. How did you help me work through it the last time? So yeah, this is my just little two cents encouragement. Get a journal, because I'm gonna be real. Like, I got one here, but it's literally, I'm on my seventh journal right now. Not because I just be writing a bunch, but I do. But also, God has done so much in this time frame. I'm in a point where if I don't write it down, I feel like I'm gonna miss out on something. So now, when I was in my rebellious phase, which is really just me operating in whatever I wanted to do and not listening to what the Holy Spirit was telling me to do, I decided that I wanted to learn everything the way that I wanted it to learn. Like, I wanted to learn it. A lot of times I found myself, especially relationally, in spaces I didn't have to be in because of the rejection of wisdom, not just from God, but also from my parents, from friends, right? I was enduring things in a relationship that I didn't have to because I just neglected to heed to wisdom. And with every decision, whether it's a great decision, it's a good decision, or it's a bad decision, you will reap the consequences of said decision. And that was something that it didn't click until I was in the midst of what I was in. And I was really frustrated with God at a point, because a lot of times, sometimes when we are done being rebellious and we're like, okay, God, I made up my mind, I'm gonna do it exactly how you want me to do it, you forget we still have to reap the consequences of whatever decisions that, you know, we make, whether, again, they're good or bad. If you make a decision for your life and it's a good decision, things would follow along. It may not even always be good things, but there will be consequences. Because I know sometimes we hear the word consequence and you think of a negative connotation, but every decision in your life has a consequence. It just depends on what that decision is, what those consequences look like, and how that affects your life. And so for me, when I decided to say, especially in relationships, surrender to God and say, you know what, God, I'm gonna do it your way. I'm done trying my type, my type is not working out for me. My decisions aren't working out for me. So I'm going to do this relationship thing your way. I thought it was going to be all sunshine, rainbows, and roses. Okay? That's not at all. Not at all what happened. God said, okay, now that you're doing it my way, you still have to reap the consequences of your decisions. And this is a twofold thing, right? We experience things because of the hands of our decisions, right? But also, God doesn't allow us to experience some things because of our decisions. We get so caught up sometimes with our circumstances because we complain, right? We say, God, I'm doing it your way, but this isn't what I thought it would look like. I thought it was going to go X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, God, I did what you wanted me to do. Why am I still in this space? But sometimes we forget that God loves us so much. Sometimes we don't get what we deserve, right? Sometimes we don't get the consequences of our actions that we should have gotten. But because of his grace, he's allowed us to experience only so much of the decisions that we've made. And so one of the things that I really had to learn was the things, now that I've decided to walk in what God wants me to walk in, especially relationally, I was frustrated with a lot of stuff, but God quickly, the Holy Spirit quickly reminded, hey, you think it's bad, but it's not as bad as it could be, because the grace that I'm extending to you, you're forgetting that, but like what this grace is covering, because it could be worse. And so a lot of things relationally I experienced that I didn't have to experience, but because I wanted to do things my way and how I felt like, you know, I wanted to do before I surrendered my life, I still had to walk out those consequences. And where I'm really trying to go in is I had a distorted view of love, right? And I was acting in what I thought love looked like. And this isn't to say that I didn't have a great role model, because I did, with my parents and their relationship. But I wanted to figure things out on my own. And I thought I wanted a struggle love, a love that you have to earn that their love. You have to earn their affection. You have to earn, you know, X, Y, and Z. And again, this isn't because I was shown this. My parents have been married 27 years, and have always shown me what a good relationship would look like, a healthy relationship, a healthy God-fearing relationship, what that looks like. But I said, well, I want to figure this thing out on my own. I want to be with who I want to be, make the decisions I want to make in the way that I feel I should make them. And because of that, I had a distorted version of love. I had a distorted view of love. And so when I finally got to college and I said, this is the route that I want to go, I quickly learned that I learned the hard way, basically. And where I'm going with this is, sometimes we don't have to learn things the hard way, but because God loves us enough to allow us to make our own decisions, that's sometimes the way that we have to learn. And one of the things that God really revealed to me in this area of relationships and through this experience of me trying to make my own decisions was how much of a father he is with, like, my generation. And I say my generation, but my peers. There's a misconception of who God is and what God really does. You know, sometimes we could see him as just a huge being, all-knowing being that's just all-powerful, and he's just there, but there's no connection. And one of the things that I had to learn was that God is God, right? He is an all-knowing being, all-powerful being. He created the universe, but he also can get to, like, he also knows us and also wants to have a personal relationship with us. And God is many things, right? He's a restorer, he's a healer, he's our banner, right? He's a lot of things. God is also a father. He is also caring. He also wants the best for ourselves. When you think about a father, whether you know you have a close relationship with your father or not, your earthly father or not, typically the father wants what's best for that child. I understand that may not be the case for everyone, but typically a father wants the best for that child. Even if it's in their own distorted way, they still, you know, want to try to do mostly, I'm just speaking generally, mostly want to do the best for that child. And when you put God in the perspective of a father, it allows you to see a little bit differently. And so one of the things that I learned through God was he gave me warnings. He gave me signs. He gave me multiple, like through people, through dreams, through experience, like just, hey, Jalen, this isn't the route that you want to go. But because he loves me so much to not make me, do something, right? And that's something that people don't realize, that we are beings of free will. We have the ability to choose. And God, because he's God and he created that, he respects that. Meaning, I'm trying to tell you this is what I have for you, but if this is not what you want right now, that's fine. I'm going to let you make your own decision. That's the same thing with salvation, right? God sent his son to die on the cross for our sins so that we can have eternal life through Jesus, but he's not going to force you to make that decision. And because he loves you enough to not make you make a decision, he allows us to have free will and, you know, decide for ourselves. And that's exactly what he did for me relationally, because I was rejecting his wisdom, rejecting the wisdom of others, rejecting the signs and the dreams and the warnings and X, Y, and Z. He said, okay, I'm gonna let you do you. And I did me for a couple of years. And I was so burnt out from doing me. I said, you know what, God, here you go. Like, I get why you were trying to get me to do it your way, because obviously my way is not working out. And once I surrendered myself, surrendered my perspective of relationship, surrendered what I viewed as, you know, this is what I think I should do, I'm now back in his arms, right? I'm now back under his grace. But that don't mean I'm not about to experience the repercussions of the decisions that I made because I rejected his wisdom. When God allows, and this is the key word, allows, when God allows us to experience things because of the decisions that we've made, it's not because he is punishing us, but it is because he is trying to get us to understand that when you reject him, there are consequences. Even though you've made the decision to now follow him, you still have to experience some of the things that you caused because of your decisions. Because if he didn't, he wouldn't be a good father, right? Just think about it as a kid. You keep telling your kid, hey, don't touch the stove. Hey, don't touch the stove. And the kid keeps saying they want to touch the stove, or the kid keeps trying to go over there and touch the stove. Eventually, the kid will touch the stove and have to learn, oh, this is why my parents said don't touch the stove, because it's hot, right? Same thing with God. God is saying, hey, don't go over there. Hey, don't go over there. Hey, don't go over there. Hey, don't do this. Hey, don't do that. But because we continuously, as just human beings, reject the wisdom of God, eventually, because we do what we want to do, there are consequences, right? And so with God, I really just had to understand that he is a loving father. Because he loves me, he's going to allow me to make my own decisions. And whatever those decisions are, there's going to be consequences. But because of his love and grace, we don't always experience the intensity of what we are supposed to actually experience because of said decisions. There's a lot of things that the Holy Spirit revealed to me that it could have gone this way, but because of the grace of God, because of the fact that the the purpose that God has over my life. I don't have to, I didn't experience some things that I should have because of the grace of God. And that really kind of shook me to the core a little bit, because sometimes we praise God for what we know didn't happen. But sometimes we need to praise God for the things that we did know should have happened, but didn't, because just of his grace. Right. And so anyways, to kind of really just get into the verse that God brought me to was Hebrews 12. And it really talks about how God's discipline, how he disciplines us, proves that he loves us. Because a loving parent, a loving mother, a loving father just won't allow their kids to do just anything and everything. Even though it didn't make sense to us why our parents said no, sometimes as we get older, we thank our parents for not allowing us to do some things, not allowing us to go some places, because in our point of view, we think it was them being strict or them being a hovering parent or obsessive. But whole time, you know, when we get older, it's like, oh, you were protecting me from something. Same thing with God. Culture can view God as this restrictive, all-knowing being, but he loves us enough to let us know this is not the best for you. This is not the route that I had planned for you, because he can see the end of this decision, the outcome of this decision. Because God operates, and this is a whole nother side note, God doesn't operate in our time. Us as human beings, we operate in a restrictive zone that is restricted by time, meaning we can only be present. We can't go back in the past and we can't go into the future. God is the only being that can see the beginning of a thing and the end of a thing at the exact same time, because he operates outside of time. I really hope y'all like get this part. So that is why it is important to consult God with the decisions that you're making, because you can only see what's in front of you. God sees everything from the beginning and the end at the exact same time. And so anyways, to get back on topic, one of the things that really stood out to me as I was reading this chapter was Hebrews 12 and 5. And so I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but it says, "And you have forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children. He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline, and don't give up when he corrects you. For the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes each one he accepts as his child.'" And then it goes on to say in verse 7, "As you endure this divine discipline, remember that God is treating you as his own children. Whoever heard of a child who is never disciplined by its father? If God doesn't discipline you as he does all of his children, it means that you are illegitimate and are not really his children at all." And then in verse 9, it says, "Since we respect our earthly father who disciplined us, shouldn't we submit even more to the discipline of the father of our spirits and live forever?" And so it just goes on to say how being disciplined by God, you know, it never feels good to get yelled at, and it never feels good to be corrected in the sense of, you know, you did something wrong, like, hey, don't do that. Like, as a kid, you might get a little pat on the hand or a spank on the leg or something like that. That doesn't feel good, right? But you remember, okay, yeah, I don't need to do that anymore. Or, okay, I see, God, why you said I don't need to do that, because this, like, these are the consequences of said decisions. And so reading this, it made me more grateful about what has been written in this book, because after rebelling for so long, and keep it, like, don't get me wrong, even as I was journaling and pouring out my heart in this book, I still was making bad decisions. I was still rebelling, but looking at this, it reminded me, well, Jalen, that's why God had to do this, because you were doing this. And so you needed to A, get that weeded out of your system, but also B, you needed to have a breakthrough in this area because this is where you once were. And I really encourage you to read the rest of Hebrews chapter 12, because it helps changes your perspective of God and removes that imaginary barrier that sometimes we can place between us and God. Because yes, he's God. Yes, he's all-knowing. Yes, he's an all-knowing being, right? Yes, he is this all-powerful being, but he wants relationship with us. And it was through God's discipline that he proved his love for me, that he redefined what love was for me, which, you know, trickled into the rest of my relationships in regards to friendships, because relationships doesn't necessarily mean like romantic. It has definitely redefining his love to me has definitely impacted the way that I see romantic relationships, but it's trickled into, you know, friendships. It's trickled into my relationships with my family members. His love and how he disciplines me proves that he loves me enough to not allow me to stay in the cycle of bad decisions that I've created for myself, or circumstances that I've created for myself because of decisions I wanted to make. But the other thing too that I really wanted to talk about is we try to run away from the discipline of God. And no, it doesn't feel good, but for me, I had to shift my perspective because it meant that he's not done with me. And I want to give this analogy because as I was reading this verse, it makes me think of like a coach's point of view. So like early on, I didn't understand like why some coaches just stayed on me. Like every single thing I did, I'm like, they're doing the exact same thing. Why are you yelling at me for it? And someone told me that when a coach is on you, they see your potential. When you're an athlete and you're working hard, but it seems like every little mistake that you make, you're getting fussed at for it. But someone else next to you makes the same mistake and the coach just doesn't say anything. I had a teammate a long time ago that said, when a coach stops talking to you, that's when you know you're in trouble, right? And I didn't really think about it until I started to see it from that point of view, because the coach was yelling at me because he's not only like, they not only saw my potential, but they also knew that had I developed the skill that they wanted me to develop, you know, perfect, how much of an impact it would have on the team, you know, how much the role that I brought, the role that I played as the team member in, you know, perfecting this, whatever craft that they're fussing at me about, how much that would help the team. And then, I mean, it kind of in a sense was like the coach, I don't think the coach was giving up on the players, you know, that they stopped talking to. But it was one of those like, okay, I've been trying to talk to you, but you're not heeding my correction. You're not heeding the advice. You're not heeding the wisdom. So I'm gonna let you do what you want to do. And when you decide you're ready to work on what I need you to work on so it can help the team, then, you know, we're just gonna work together. But until then, obviously I see what I'm saying is not resonating to you. And it kind of like when I was reading Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5, it says, my child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you. It brought me back to those times as an athlete, because sometimes it can get discouraging because it seems like every single thing you're doing is wrong. Every single thing, you know, you just can't get it right. But whole time, the coach is like, no, I need you to get this right because I see it in you. I see the potential that you can bring if you perfect this craft to the team, because at the end of the day, it's going to help the team. Same thing with God. When you give your life to Christ and you give God your yes, there is something that only you, in terms of what he has placed in you, can be accomplished through you if you give him your yes. We don't realize that as Christians, we're not just here to, you know, just live and give our life to Christ and go to heaven. We got some things to do while we're here. And I look at it as being on God's basketball team, you know, the heavenly kingdom team. That like, that's kind of the analogy that I had to look at it for a while is, okay, God, you're correcting me, because whatever you need me to do while I'm here to help build your kingdom, you need me to perfect whatever it is that you need me to, you know, need to perfect in whatever season that I'm in, because it's to help your kingdom. Literally, like, God disciplines us not only just for ourselves, but for his kingdom. When God does something for us, it's not just for us. It's for his kingdom. It's for the expansion of his kingdom. Even if it's just one person, you tell someone, hey, I get what you're going through. Let me tell you how God got me through it. And you only say it to one person. It's still an expansion to his kingdom. It's still an addition to his kingdom. And so I just really want to encourage whoever is listening that God loves you, right? But he loves you enough to not allow you to continue to stay in your mistakes. When you finally surrender to him, he loves you enough to allow you to be disciplined so that you don't continue to make the same mistake, and that you don't go into your next season bumping your head in the same areas, because he needs you to be on your A game for whatever he has for you for his kingdom. So yeah, God loves us, and God loves us as his children because he is our heavenly father. We all have an earthly father, whether they're, you know, active in our lives or not, or whether they are the perfect father or not. We all have an earthly father, but we also have a heavenly father who loves us enough to allow us to be corrected so that we can be a better version of ourselves. We can be a better version for God, and we can be a better version for his kingdom. Because ever since I've been able to see God from the perspective of a father, it allows me to sit in his presence in a different posture. He's not just an omniscient being that's just in the sky. No, he sits with you. One of the things that God also taught me is, because he's a loving father, because he is a father who cares and loves me and cares about, you know, what I'm enduring, what I am going through, he's gonna sit with me in the heartache, but he's also going to help me out and work through said heartache, but with his help, right? A lot of the things that I endured and experienced that I wrote in this little notebook, he allowed me to get out of it, I feel like, at a faster rate had I did it by myself. Because who knows where I would have been had I tried to work through all of that stuff on my own. But it was by his grace that he allowed me to experience the consequence of my decisions, which was heartache, which was pain. It was a lot of sleepless nights where I'm crying and just consulting God because why? But at the same time, well, Jalen, you made the decision to be there. So because he loves you so much, he's going to allow you to walk out some of this stuff so you know why he wants us to do it in a specific way. Not because he is just a dictator and, you know, it's his way or the highway, but a lot of lessons that we learn are because we are neglecting his wisdom. And God's wisdom, and this is not to say that you won't go through things experientially. You will experience some things that you just have to experience. But a lot of times, the things that we endure, we don't have to endure. But because of our decisions that we decided to make, because we wanted to go outside of the wisdom of God, outside of the will of God, it's some things that we got to face. It's some things that we got to endure. So I really hope this helps someone. I really hope that it blesses you like it blessed me, the revelation of this, and God changing my perspective of how much he loves me, and literally being able to watch that trickle over into my other relationships in my life, with my family, with my friends. God loves you, and he loves you enough to correct you and discipline you so that you don't continuously make the same mistakes that you don't have to make had you just heeded his wisdom. When we look at it and we take ourselves out of it, which is sometimes it can be hard. Sometimes we could just be so much in our feelings, we don't see no one else's point of view. But when we take the time to consciously and actively take, okay, let me take myself out of the equation. God, how do you see this? God, what are you trying to say in this? God, what was the point? That's another way to find joy, from looking at how we see it and how it's impacting us, and honestly being selfish in that way. Say, well, hold on, God, how is this affecting you? A lot of times, this is a whole other side note. A lot of times, the things that we experience is like what God experiences, like rejection. Imagine how many times, because I used to have a thing with rejection. I used to fear rejection in all forms. And one day I was on my floor and I was crying out to God because I just felt a huge amount of rejection. And I was like, God, I know I'm in my feelings and I know it's giving woe is me, but I just don't get it. And then he said, well, imagine how I feel. And I said, oh, I'm sorry, God. Because even as Christians, even as followers, we can reject God sometimes throughout our day. And I'm a huge like quality time person. Like I just love quality time. Like even with my relationship with God, I just love just hanging out with God. And what that looks like for me is sitting outside, no distractions, going out, you know, to a park or just taking a walk with him, just talking with him. And I enjoy that because I guess my love language is quality time. But God is like, well, imagine how I feel when I want to spend quality time with you, but you're on your phone or you're watching TV or you're binge watching a Netflix show. He really kind of convicted me in those areas. But just saying that a lot of times the things that we feel, especially relationally, is how he feels and how we treat him. And that also shifted my perspective too, because again, he's not just this omniscient being that doesn't have feelings, that doesn't care. He does care. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to get to know us he wants us to get to know him, because he already knows us. He wants us to get to know him on a deeper level, to really truly walk out this thing called life with him. So I'm gonna get off my little soapbox. This is it for me. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. And of course, before we go, I will pray us out. Goodness, y'all don't understand how many times I get tongue-tied just throughout the day. Like it's not okay. But yeah, so Dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, thank you so much for just your favor, your grace, and your mercy, Lord. I thank you so much for the revelation and the things that you have revealed to us as we navigate this walk with you, Lord Jesus, as we continue to redefine what love is and align it with your word, Lord. Lord Jesus, I ask that you allow us to be able to apply the revelations and your word that was revealed today within our lives, Lord, and that we start to walk in what we know love to be and what you have said it to be, Lord Jesus, in accordance to your word. I thank you so much for the person that was listening, Lord. I ask that you just lead them, guide them, and keep them, protect them as they go throughout their week. And I just thank you so much for your favor, your grace, and your mercy in allowing me to be able to have a platform to have conversations and talk about you, Lord Jesus. I just ask that you just continue to lead us, guide us, and keep us, and that wherever we go, Lord Jesus, that people do not see us, they do not hear us, but they see you and hear you, Lord. I just thank you so much for your favor, your grace, and your mercy. And I ask all these things in your mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Well, thanks for watching and see you next time. Bye. Hey, thanks for watching God's View, The True Perspective. If you enjoyed this conversation, go ahead and hit that like and subscribe button so you can stay tuned for more. See you next time. Bye.